The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Simon Tierney is back with me, continuing his series How to Do Stuff. Simon, how to do what this week?
How to pretend to be an expert on something that you know nothing about.
Spoofing.
Spoofing. Spoofology. Scholars of spoofology who I have been researching this week.
He's a spoofer.
The reason I'm doing this, there's a specific reason why I'm doing this, Kieran. Can you guess what it might be?
I don't know. Trump, or everything is Trump related in the world today. So I'm just going to, it's a safe guess. Trump?
Nearly. I will get to Trump in a moment because he's somewhat related to it. And actually, he's even more related to it now because he just said yesterday that if he was to be Pope, he'd probably be the best Pope ever.
So you're talking about the spoofing, people spoofing about the conclave and
exactly.
stuff, is it?
Yeah. So next week is conclave week.
On Conclave Week on Irish Media. Tune in to the Hard Shoulder next week. It's Conclave Week.
Henry McKean is going to be over there all week reporting back live from the Conclave. Yeah, so who's going to get knocked out first? It'll be like the traitors all over again. But the reason why I think this topic for how to do stuff is relevant is because I guarantee you, especially if you're on Twitter or anywhere near it, there will be armchair experts on how the conclave works and who is going to get, who's going to win, who's going to win the papacy.
Do you know who these people are? They're the same people who will watch 30 seconds of diving at the Olympics and start telling you exactly why the different competitors have come.
Now, I have to say, I have been guilty of that myself. Like, you know, cause when you're watching a really niche sport on TV, which to be fair, there are quite a few in the Summer and Winter Olympics, you're kind of watching it and you're going, I think I know a lot about this and I'm really into it. It's almost like there's a really intense period of enthusiasm. Like, you don't care about the luge for the other three years and 11 months.
No.
You know nothing about luge.
Couldn't tell you what's going on in the world of luge now, Simon.
You know no one in the luge community even.
No.
Yet for 1 month.
I don't even use luge.
But for 1 month. Can we clip that for a promo? for 1 month, every 4 years in the winter, you are an expert on luge and lugeology. You are a lugeologist.
Can we stop talking about luge?
I'm not sure if I'm even pronouncing it correct. Luge. Anyway, so for next week, there's going to be people, they're going to be like, sede vacante this, habimus papam that, Carlomengo this.
You know when if a team or something unexpected happens in sport, there's people are there just, they're waiting. They've got their phones out so they can say, there won't be a cow milked in such and such tonight, you know, in France, because they won the World Cup, and they think it's hilarious. The same people will be so, that have habimus papam, that have it written, that have a template ready to just copy and paste.
They will, copy and paste. Now, to go back to the Olympics for a second, to get away with this codology, what you need to do is be a master of jargon and buzzwords.
Okay.
Now, look at the Olympics for a second. I'll give you a niche sport, Summer Olympics, the pommel horse. Right? Something we know a bit about in this country. Didn't we have an Olympic medal winner in pommel horse?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, Reese McLenahan.
Yeah, that was it. Now, if you wanted to be a codologist in this area, rather than saying, you know the way they spin around on the thing, rather than saying that was a fantastic turn, instead you would say that was a fantastic flare spindle. Right? Two very simple words. You learn them off in the space of 10 seconds and immediately you will come across as an armchair expert. A flare spindle is when the arms and the legs appear to go in opposite directions while they're spinning around.
Yeah.
And instead of saying, oh, that was a really good landing there, you would say that was a smooth dismount.
Okay.
Instantly an expert.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not just Olympic sports or the choosing of a new pope. This kind of infects like all aspects of life, doesn't it? Jargon.
Oh, God, it does. I mean, even in the workplace, you know. Activate that. Middle managers will use it left, right and centre. Let's circle back instead of saying, that's a terrible idea.
Let's take this conversation offline.
Exactly. But the science backs this up, right? I came across a really interesting study from the University College London in 2019. And what they did was to test this and to try and find out who are the worst culprits of pretending to be experts experts in something that they know very little about. Mm. And you can probably imagine who it is. People who would fit into our own demographic, Kieran. So what they did was, across 9 different countries, they gave a series of people different maths and problem-solving questions.
Yeah.
Right? And they asked them to respond to whether they were familiar with these ideas and these theories. But what the respondents didn't know is that some of the theories were made up, that they weren't real.
Yeah.
And what came back was that the people who ticked the biggest number of boxes were clearly not necessarily directly lying, but they were either recognizing their own expertise in an area that doesn't exist, or that they were lying. So, what they discovered, delusion or lying, what they discovered was that men exhibited striking overconfidence.
Yeah, that's unsurprising. Now, I've got to say,
but particularly rich men, men from a higher socioeconomic background, and this speaks to confidence, right? I remember an actor said to me when I was much younger, a professional actor that I was chatting to, he said that, if you do anything with confidence, you can get away with it.
Sorry, I worked in Maxall Mace on the Glasheen Road in Cork.
Right.
And there was a lad working there, and he used to say that if you don't know the price of something, right?
Yeah.
You just hold it up. We would work on kind of tills about 2 metres away from each other, and you'd ask the other person the price, and he says, don't even think about it. Just say a figure and people will pay it.
Yeah.
And we would do this all the time. So he would just, like, someone would come up, the multi-pack of Kit Kats wouldn't scan. He'd hold it up and say, Kieran, how much is the multi-pack of Kit Kats? And he'd look at it and go, €6. And then you'd just go back to what you were doing. Yeah. And he said, people,
even if it was outrageous,
they wouldn't quite, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they might not pay it, but they wouldn't question it.
Yes.
They would think, oh, yes, that was €6. It shouldn't be €6, but they wouldn't think, I think he's got that wrong.
Well, you know what's happened there is that you've created an illusion of expertise, but you've also kind of, you've almost created a trust, because now 2 people who work in the shop are kind of saying and agreeing that this is the price. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think this idea of displaying striking confidence in a situation, even if you don't know what on earth you're talking about, it kind of, like, Trump is a classic example of this kind of unapologetic self-assurance about what he's talking about. You know, it's extraordinary. And I mean, the Pope thing is a classic example of that. Now, there is one particular area that I think, actually, just on the Trump thing for a second, what I found really interesting during the week was Mark Carney, the new Canadian Prime Minister, or sorry, the re-elected Canadian Prime Minister. His victory speech in Ottawa the other night was really interesting. And I think he chose his words as a direct counterpoint to Trump's self-assurance, to the kind of smoke and mirrors of the Trump administration's overconfidence about absolutely everything, even when, you know, inflation figures are in direct contradiction to what Trump is claiming are the price of eggs or whatever it is, right? And what he said, Mark Carney, was that we will live by the classic Canadian values, number one of which is humility. And, like, you can imagine Trump looking at that and having one of two reactions, either going, what an absolute loser that guy is.
Yeah.
Humility. Are you joking me? Or being slightly disarmed by the idea of somebody celebrating the idea of humility.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really clever.
Yeah, it was interesting, yeah.
Really clever from him, the kind of anti-confidence of that. Now, one thing that we should mention is the Dunning-Kruger effect. Have you ever come across this?
Yes, I definitely have come across this, Simon.
It doesn't exist.
Oh,
no, it does.
Oh, you got me out.
It does. The Dunning-Kruger effect, named for 2 Cornell psychologists who came up with the idea from their research in 1999, is this idea that people don't actually, that they're people who might know a little about something, but they don't recognize their own incompetence or the lack of depth of knowledge in a particular area.
Yes, okay.
Right?
So, like, it's actually, Justin Mayo suggestion. That's most of an audience who watch an international rugby match in a pub.
Ah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great example, Justin.
Yeah, very good example. So this is, it's almost, again, it's not a kind of a dishonesty. It's often where people believe that they are more competent than they actually are. So a good example of this would be the 2017 Fyre Festival. Now, there's a fantastic documentary on Netflix about this festival. You might remember it, Kieran.
It's brilliant.
It was about this kind of big glitzy festival that was to take place in the Caribbean at the end of the last decade, and it turned out to be an absolute disaster. The guy who organised it actually ended up in prison. I think he might still... No, he's out of prison now. But for kind of defrauding investors, allegedly, and all the rest of it. But what the reason why it's held up as an example of the Dunning-Kruger effect is because in the documentary, he comes across as someone who has who doesn't necessarily have an enormous burden on his shoulders. He seems to kind of have this complete delusion that he's able to manage this behemoth of an event without the competence to actually carry it through. Do you remember when you were watching the documentary? It's quite extraordinary, but there's never a moment.
You're always kind of wondering whether he's faking it or whether he...
Exactly.
That's the question you're left with watching it. Does this guy know the wheels have completely come off this?
Completely come off. But you never for a moment... When he's being interviewed during the documentary, when the kind of everything is burning down in the background, you never for a moment think that he's actually panicked by it at all.
No.
It's quite extraordinary. He seems to believe that he is more competent than he actually is. So that's an example of the Dunning-Kruger effect. And finally, we can't leave this topic without mentioning social proofing. When all else fails, quote an expert.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's versions of that online, which is the fake quotes.
Yeah.
You know, people regularly share a quote like kind of attributed to Theodore Roosevelt that suits the particular zeitgeist at the time. And you never said it. Theodore Roosevelt, Netflix series always have one episode too many.
Anyway. Yeah.
somebody here says, while watching gymnastics at the Olympics with my two young nieces, I was pretending to be an expert. So I'd explain all the moves to them in detail. The flippity flop. The double flippity flop, the backwards loop de loop, the roly poly. They bought it for a while until I ran out of terminology. Great, Greg.
That's brilliant.
Fair play, fair play. Simon, thank you very much. Simon Tierney's series, How to Do Stuff, continues in the not too distant future.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.